Good afternoon. My name is Donna Marie Collins, and I'm the hearing examiner that will preside over this afternoon's hearing. The date is February 5th, 2020. The purpose of today's hearing is to consider an application to rezone property on Gladiolus Drive from residential plan development and commercial plan development to just residential plan development. The rezoning application essentially replaces 100,000 square feet of previously approved commercial square footage and then replaces that square footage with 135 dwelling units. These units can be constructed as assisted living, continuing care, or independent living units. The application also seeks to rename the project from Oasis Cove to Amavita. The details of the request will be explained by the applicant during their presentation. My task as the hearing examiner is to accept testimony and evidence today and prepare a recommendation for the Board of County Commissioners. The Board will be the final decision maker in this case, and the hearing before them usually follows between 2 and 4 weeks after I've rendered my recommendation. My recommendation will evaluate the request based on the review criteria that's set forth in the Land Development Code. Because this is a quasi-judicial hearing, all testimony and evidence that I accept must be under oath, so I will administer the oath in mock before we begin. I'm briefly going to explain the order of the proceeding. Typically, the applicant who represents the property owner will go first. They will make their presentation explaining the request and how the request meets the review criteria. Their presentation will be followed by the county employee planner who reviewed the application and prepared the staff report. At the conclusion of their two presentations, I will open up the floor for public comments. At that time, if you wish to have your concerns or remarks entered into the record, I will ask you to come to the podium and you will have an opportunity to speak. There's no limitation on the amount of time that you may speak, but you may only come to the podium once. All questions posed by the public will be noted and answered at one time after all public input has been received. Okay, well then I'm ready to administer the oath and we will begin. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony and evidence that you place in the record this afternoon will be the truth?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm ready to begin.
Thank you.
Good morning, Stacy Hewitt with Banks Engineering, representing the applicant. I've previously been accepted as an expert witness in land use planning and zoning, and I respectfully request to be accepted as such this morning.
Yes, you've been accepted as an expert in this forum before, and you may proceed.
Okay, thank you. Just a matter of record keeping, I do have applicants exhibit a copy of the PowerPoint submitted to the record.
Okay, thank you. No questions.
And the list of applicants' representatives. And if I may, just a moment, provide the public with a copy as well.
We can follow along.
Is a copy of the project location map. The site is located at the north side of Gladiolus Drive. It's right between US 41 and Summerlin Road. It's about a half mile east of Summerlin and about 3/4 miles west of US 41 and just south of Lakes Park.
We are here representing the applicant, Quadrant Lakes Park, LLC. Also with me today, I have Yuri Buckow from TR Transportation, who did the traffic studies for the case, and he'll be here to answer any questions. And again, we are here for rezoning of the 32.54 acre parcel from residential plan development and commercial plan development to all residential plan development to remove the 100,000 square feet of commercial uses and to allow a total of 325 dwelling units for the entire site. 190 dwelling units are existing and 135 dwelling units are proposed as an increase. The site is located in the South Fort Myers planning community, and the future land use designation is central urban for 32.44 acres of the site and wetlands for 0.10 acre. This is the future land use designation. The site and the areas to the west and south across Gladiolus are all within the central urban future land use category. To the north is public facilities, and just to the northeast is intensive development. There are a couple of pockets to the southwest and southeast of suburban land use. And just for context, the central urban land use allows up to 10 standard dwelling units per acre and can be increased to 15 dwelling units per acre with bonus density. And intensive development allows 8 to 14 standard and a maximum of 22 dwelling units per acre or up to 30 dwelling units per acre for Greater Pine Island TDUs. That's just a reference. There's quite a nexus of land use categories in this area because of the existing facilities and infrastructure. In contrast, the Berman allows up to 6 dwelling units per acre. This is the zoning category surrounding the site. The west and east, there's 82 zoned properties that are both owned by Lee County. To the north is Lakes Park, which is zoned community facilities. And to the south, we have Gladiolus Drive, a six-lane arterial. And then we have some commercial plan developments. One is vacant, one is developed with medical offices, and we also have some residential developments that are conventional zoning districts. And these areas, the Victoria Cove was developed as a single-family land condominium, and because it was single-family, it's currently developed approximately 5 dwelling units per acre, but because it's residential, conventional zoning, it would, if it were to redevelop, could develop at the full density range within central urban. And that is the same for all of these residential RM2 zoning districts on that south side.
The agricultural property to the west, is that owned by Lee County, did you say?
Yes. It differs somewhat. This one on the east is actually in the conservation uplands land use category. That's not the case on the west property line. It's zoned AG2, but I don't see any conservation status on that property as of now. When the notices first went out on the application, I did receive a phone call from the northwest property here, Reflection Key, and the gentleman's here with us today, but he had initially thought that this was what was being developed. So the portion right now we've got further slides to demonstrate what our request is.
Okay, so this property to the west,
mm-hmm.
from the north property line to Gladiolus, is all county owned, you're saying?
Yes, it is. And I believe I've got an exhibit further in the presentation that has it hatched somewhat, so you can kind of see, because I believe it's some of these parcels a little bit further west as well.
Is also county owned.
Correct.
Okay. Proceed.
The staff report recommends approval of 324 dwelling units or the equivalent assisted living facility, continuing care facility, or independent living unit, recommending a reduction of one unit from the request. staff is in, or applicant is in agreement with staff, with the staff report and the conditions as revised by the staff's response to the applicant's 48-hour notice. I would like to incorporate the staff report and attachments as part of my testimony today.
So you're revising your request to 324 units then?
Yes, we are in agreement with staff's recommendations. So, and just a little explanation there is when the applicant filed, there is a provision in wetland category where you can transfer the density to adjacent developable uplands. But because there is a policy in the comp plan that says in the coastal high hazard, you cannot get density from wetlands, that is why we've agreed we're not going to transfer that density. So we're in agreement with staff at the 324.
Okay. Let me just make a note.
Sure. As this property is abutting Lakes Park, there are a lot of conditions with the development that are transferred over with this approval, and also there's 12 existing deviations that are actually a compilation of the last zoning that has been done and some administrative amendments that were done in between. We are requesting to maintain all of those deviations because they do affect the existing development. But there are two deviations, deviations 2 and 3, that were specific to the commercial plan development. One was for buffering between residential and commercial, and one was for perimeter setbacks of a plan development district. Both of those, since they're no longer required for the commercial, have been requested to be withdrawn. And that is noted in the latest conditions with applicants or the staff's response. This is an area, a close-up aerial of the site. The existing development is a equivalent of 190 residential dwelling units. And what the code allows is for assisted living facilities, because of the lesser impact, of a density ratio of 4 to 1. And independent living units at the time were at 2 to 1 residential equivalent. And what that is if there are common dining facilities that serve meals for the senior facility, that allows a density equivalent to be enacted as far as what's delineated in the land development code as far as specific provisions that allow for that conversion. The site currently has 300 independent living units and 160 assisted living facility units. And because of the 2 to 1, 4 to 1 ratio, that equates to the 190 dwelling units that are existing. The site has been developed and has received certificate of compliance. The two wetland areas that are discussed are over along the west portion of the site. And there was a portion, as you'll see on the master concept plan, that was in the FEMA floodway that the site has maintained and preserved that area. There is also an upland preserve over on the east portion of the site. And the property that's been undeveloped that we're here about today is the future development tract at the southwest corner. And these are currently two commercial lots here and 3 commercial lots here that are proposed to be changed to residential. And those have been deemed commercial since the 2010 zoning resolution, and there just has not been any market demand for them to be developed at this time. And there are several vacant commercial properties along Gladiolus Drive already as well. This is the existing master concept plan that delineates the zoning line between the two properties. The commercial plan development zoning line cuts right through the lake. There is the southwest corner is actually within the RPD zoning today, and the 5 commercial lots are within the commercial plan development that we're requesting to change.
is just an oblique photo demonstrating the varying heights on the site and the amenity area.
Okay, explain to me what these buildings are.
You have the, I'll do my best to break that down, but these are independent living unit cottages that are around the western perimeter of the site. And there's also some independent living and assisted living facility units within the main portion of the site. You've got some three-story, four-story in the center. And then you have a memory care unit that's separate off to itself, which there is an administrative interpretation in the file. The memory care equates to the assisted living facility definition. So that, and they have separate kitchens as well. And there's amenity areas within the courtyards of each of the buildings and commercial amenities as well. And then we have the accessory uses and clubhouse and recreation areas. And there's also the on-site storm shelter is in the upper floors of the community building here.
Okay, so is the site, these portions of the site considered to be built out so future development will be confined to the formerly commercial parcels?
That is the plan at this time. We did not change anything on the master concept plan and up in those areas to show any proposed changes. That's my understanding. The density is being calculated just as a whole for the request. That's why the entire development was brought in, but the future development pads are just the southwest corner and the commercial lot. This is the proposed master concept plan. There aren't many changes from the existing master concept plan besides that the lots had been deemed commercial and now we've labeled them with the options of assisted living facility, continuing care facility, multifamily, townhouses, or accessory which are all in the scheduled uses for the RPD today. There were quite a few quite a list of commercial uses allowed on the commercial lots that are being removed, and they're 25,000 square feet of that 100,000 square foot was allowed to have been retail at the time. We are abutting Glen Willis Drive, again, the six-lane arterial road, and it also has, it's part of an evacuation route that actually distributes to other evacuation routes in the area, some of the adjacent arterials. A little bit about the history on the density for this parcel. And originally, by zoning resolution Z-04-043, the site was rezoned to residential planned development for multifamily. And the request was at the time was for 9 dwelling units per acre and was approved for 8.45 units per acre. And that was due to a prior Lee Plan policy 75.1.4, which is described in the staff report. And it's interesting, even looking back at it now, the policy even then talked about comprehensive plan amendments reducing density, not zoning applications, but at the time, staff viewed it and because of that policy, still implemented it towards the zoning. And it's still, when I read it, and even in the Hess recommendation from that case, highlights that in its discussion as well, that this policy strictly involves that, and I do have a copy of that if you'd like me to submit that into evidence as well. But it talks about that the reduction was for comprehensive plan amendments, not rezoning applications, but it was implemented by staff and recommended to reduce the density down to the 8.45. And by zoning resolution Z-10009, that's when the rezoning came in to keep 21.75 acres as residential plan development and the remaining 10 acres as commercial plan development. At that time, the 190 dwelling units on the 21.75 acres equated to 8.73 units per acre. The current request, as amended with working with staff, reducing that dwelling unit is for 9.96 units per acre, 10 units per acre on the central urban property. And some changes that have happened for that is the appropriate infill development in the urban core where existing services exist. The request actually reduces traffic from what's currently approved on the site today. It reduces it 55% in the AM peak hour, 56% in the PM peak hour, and 57% in the entire workday, which is evidenced in the traffic attachments to the staff report. The lease plan allows up to 10 units per acre and up to 15 units per acre if it's affordable housing. There's two access points existing today within the development that are directly onto a fixed lane arterial. It is located directly on the evacuation route. There's a condition 10, an existing condition that's continued to remain. It has the on-site shelter requirement, which is provided for the existing development. And there's also condition 11 for requiring education regarding the location and hurricane hazards. The site is located at the eastern portion of the coastal high hazard zone. The end is around US 41, about 3/4 mile east, is approximately where the coastal high hazard zone ends, just in reference for the location. There's a high level of urban services in place, and it is consistent with some of the densities in the area. This is just a map to show some of the existing facilities. I did find a typo in my narrative that talks about the location of the adjacent, and unfortunately it's in the staff report too as far as how close the nearest fire station is. We had 4 miles listed in the staff report, but it's actually right up at Bensie Pratt. So it's actually 1.8 miles from the site, not 4 miles.
This is the nearest fire station?
Correct.
It's 1.8 miles?
Correct. The sheriff's station is 1.6 miles from the site, just south of the fire station. There's several shopping opportunities within the distance of the site. We've got Walmart up at that intersection at 41 at the southeast corner of Glen Pratt in US 41. We have Lee County EMS Medicaid is located approximately 1.6 miles from the site in the other direction off of Summerlin Road. There's a Publix over in that location as well. And there's Lakes Park Library is over to the west. And several schools are within the vicinity as well. And the hospital is within the close vicinity as well. There are existing walkways and bikeways along Gladiolus today. And there are, although we don't abut a transit route right now, there's transit connections approximately a mile west at Winkler in Summerlin and approximately 3/4 mile east at US 41. This is the image I was talking about that has a hatched area. Kind of a little hard to see here, but this entire hatched area is county lands adjacent to the west and adjacent to the east, which I thought was rather interesting because although we've already put in our buffers along those property lines, it kind of adds an additional area from our perimeter. And we did work extensively with staff in the beginning of the original zonings on the interface in those areas. The project is consistent with the comprehensive plan. It's consistent with the vision statement for South Fort Myers Planning Community. And it's consistent with the density ranges allowed in Policy 1.1.3, the Central Urban Land Use Designation. It's consistent with Policy 1.5.1, the Wetlands Designation, since we've agreed not to transfer the density to the adjacent uplands, and we have preserved the on-site wetlands.
consistent with policy 1.7.6, the allocation of table. There are 359 acres remaining for residential in this planning community. It's consistent with policy 2.1.1 for development locations. It promotes compact and contiguous growth pattern and is putting development on pads that are ready to be developed. It's consistent with policy 2.2.1 on development timing, and there's adequate public facilities to exist that exist today to service the site. It's consistent with standards 4.1.1 and 4.1.2 on water and sewer. There is a letter of availability from Lake County Utilities attached to the staff report as S, which shows sufficient capacity exists. It's consistent with standard 4.1.4 for the environmental factors. There's existing preservation areas for the approved development order, DOS 2016-00049, which has received a certificate of compliance. Consistent with policy 5.1.2, we adjusted the design on the site with the preservation of the on-site wetland and upland preservation, and the on-site hurricane sheltering requirement and access to the evacuation route. Those, there are protections in the Land Development Code as well that help developments for residential or care facilities that are located in the coastal high hazard area that makes the request appropriate. Consistent with policy 5.1.3, where near employment, shopping, parks, schools, bicycle, and transit. We're consistent with policy 5.1.5. There's no impact on the integrity of the residential in the area. We're consistent with policy 5.1.6 as we provide open space, buffers, and recreation areas. We're consistent with policy 101.3.2 as the density is only calculated from the uplands. Consistent with policy 101.3.4. As condition 11 requires a hurricane plan and education to the residents. And we're consistent with policy 101.3.5 as condition 10 requires an off-site shelter, consistent with the Land Development Code requirements. And at this time, I'd like to go into the findings summary. The request does comply with the comprehensive plan. It meets the Land Development Code and other applicable county regulations, and it qualifies for the existing deviations. The request is compatible with the existing and planned uses in the surrounding area and will provide access sufficient to support the proposed development intensity. The expected impacts on the transportation facilities are addressed by existing county regulations. And I just want to add there that, again, we are reducing the trip generation for the site more than half, and the traffic studies attached to the staff report show there will be no adverse impacts to the surrounding transportation system. We will not adversely affect environmentally critical or sensitive areas or natural resources, and the site is served by urban services defined in the LEED plan. The proposed use is appropriate at the proposed location, and the recommended conditions do provide sufficient safeguards to the public interest and are reasonably related to the impacts of the public interest, the impact expected from the proposed development. The existing deviations remain, and they still enhance the achievements of the objectives of the planned development, and they still preserve and promote the general intent of the code to protect the public health, safety, and welfare. That concludes my presentation at this time, unless you have any specific questions for me.
No, I don't have any questions at this time. I reviewed the TIS with the staff report as an attachment, so I don't feel though I need to hear from your transportation expert. I felt like that was pretty straightforward, a description of the impact, the reduction in impact. So I'm ready for the staff's presentation unless staff has questions of you.
Not at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
name is Dirk Danley. I'm a senior planner in the Lee County Community Development Zoning Division. I've previously been accepted as an expert witness in the Lee County Land Development Code and would like to do so again today.
Yes, you may proceed.
Just to begin with, I'd like to express appreciation for the applicant providing a relatively complete presentation as well as application submittal. Briefly, though, the subject property is located at 7778 Gladiolus Drive, as well as 7661 through 7794 Calistoga Loop. The subject property has been through a number of zoning actions. As previously stated, it went from agricultural to an RPD as part of Resolution Z-04043, and then went from RPD to RPD-CPD and Z-10009. And then now, again, today, back from RPD-CPD to RPD. So today's request, as amended by the applicant today, is for 324 dwelling units, as converted to ALO, CCF, ILU units. This case was a little interesting because even though it was a full rezoning application, many of the steps that were taken, the spirit of the review took more of a plan development amendment review. Because the development has already taken place in much of the site, and there's a number of administrative approvals that have happened since then, to condition the existing development as it sits today. Any changes that we're moving forward for the developable tracks, all of those conditions and relief that's already been sought and approved needed to be carried forward. So
you presented a codified version of the conditions and deviations that represent all prior approvals?
Yes.
And deletion of approvals that were no longer relevant to the new application?
That is correct. So the conditions document that was provided with the staff report was presented in a strike-through underline, just so that there was some representation of what changed. It's in staff's opinion that the primary subject that was under review was the density. There was a lot of discussion of density over the previous zoning cases, and as part of this review, the applicant was requesting the full standard density associated with the project. When it first went from agricultural to RPD, there was a lease land policy in place, 75.1.4, that said through the lease land amendment process, land use designations of undeveloped areas within the coastal high hazard area shall be considered for reduced density categories. And that goes on. In order to limit future population exposed to coastal flooding. Since that time, there have been a number of lease land policies that have been put into effect regarding bonus density and other coastal high hazard regulation or policies and objectives found in the lease land. They are enumerated in the staff report, but effectively now there's a consideration for even bonus density associated with developments in the project. In the hearing examiner's discussion, it was brought up that the lead plan policy discussion translated into commissioner interpretation of reduced density for projects. So that original RPD had a higher density request, I believe it was for 9 units an acre, and then it was approved at a reduced rate based off of this lead plan policy. So today, now there's additional policies that do still consider a reduced density, but also consider a bonus density. So as we're piecing together different parts of the lease plan that may differ in what their goals and objectives are, staff found the middle ground at that base 10 units an acre was an appropriate request for this site. Additionally, as part of that, there are already hurricane mitigation measures taking place on site. As previously spoken, consistent with the Land Development Code, there's a shelter on site. The transit times for the evacuation routes are still effective. And any new residential development that's approved for this development, the applicant will have to work with our Department of Emergency Management and Public Safety to work through any additional mitigation that's going to be required for the additional residential uses. This condition exists in the attachment C. So staff finds that the 324 units less the one unit that was being derived from the 0.1 acres of wetland to be consistent with the LEED plan and an appropriate request for this site. The switch out between having 100,000 square feet of commercial to the additional dwelling units does provide a reduction in some of the review for intensity. The transportation impact was already discussed, and that's probably the primary one, particularly when we're discussing hurricane evacuation safety routes. So staff was supportive of it. The applicant did provide a 48-hour letter amending the conditions to the documents, fold in additional changes that weren't included from previous ADDs. Staff provided a response to that that incorporated those changes, again, in strike-through and underline for the hearing examiner.
So staff's redraft of the conditions represent the changes that you proffered in your 48-hour memo? So
yes.
I can rely on that for the purpose of preparing the recommended conditions and deviations?
Yes. Not 100% of the changes were pulled through, but the ones that weren't pulled through were, you know, changing staff to development services, staff, you know, just changing language like that. Some of that wasn't folded in, but the substantive parts of it.
So there's no outstanding disputes as to conditions or deviations, is that correct?
That's correct.
And there's no dispute as to the number of requested units?
That's correct. Okay. And with that, staff finds that the request is consistent with the decision-making criteria found in the Land Development Code for rezoning to plan development. If you have any questions, it's here available.
Okay, thank you very much. That's a very complete staff report and presentations by staff and the applicant. I appreciate that. I am going to go to public input. If you'd like to put remarks on the record, I'm going to start with Jim Samples.
I have nothing to add. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. John Healy.
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. I will note that these people were present but elected not to put remarks on the record. I don't have any questions. Thank you again for an excellent staff report and pre-hearing submittals. I feel as though this is a very straightforward request. I don't anticipate it'll take me very long to prepare a recommendation, hopefully within 2 weeks. And the board hearing will follow thereafter. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Itchy scratches right now here. Everything is my face.